With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to the Wolverine.com podcast. I'm John Borton, and we are here with someone you know and love if you're a follower at all of this podcast. I want to welcome in Tom Crawford, longtime sports talk radio personality out of East Lansing, Michigan. He is a regular panelist on the weekly TV show Press Pass with Jack Ebling, seen Sunday nights on Fox 47 in Lansing. He is the founder and principal of the Crawford Podcasting Network, a proud U of M alum, and a weekly podcast participant, as mentioned here on the Wolverine Podcast. You can find him on Twitter at BlueBellyTom. You can find him right here, right now. Tom Crawford, welcome back to the podcast.
Well, it's great to be back, John. I don't know if they all love me, but they do watch us. And we got some comments coming off our podcast last week. I think we hit a couple of thought-provoking topics, and look forward to today. You know, I was out walking the dog this morning about 6:30, and it was like 56 degrees. I go, football is coming. I can feel it.
No doubt. You can feel it. You can read about it on thewolverine.com, on the On3 Network, and you can hear, if you listen closely to Michigan coaches these days, a lot about different players. And we're going to lead off with what I called a heavy hitter, and that has multiple meanings. Let's talk a little bit about freshman defensive tackle Kenneth Grant, because this is a young man who checks in at 349 pounds, as everyone knows by now, ran a sub 5.0 40-yard dash, and that is incredible. This is a big kid that can move. But I'm telling you, you've got two things going here. Freshmen on the line, on either side of the line, it's always tough to get going as a freshman and have a high level of success. But the more I hear about this kid, the more it sounds like this is someone who could make an impact as a freshman.
Well, let's go back to Big Ten media days. You remember the scrum around Harbaugh, and we're all there, and Jim all of a sudden comes out with, you know, I want to talk about a gift from the football gods. And he's got that smirk, you know, he's got that goofy look, and he's looking at Dave Abloff, and should I tell who this guy is? And I mean, Abloff's like, he's smiling. I mean, it's pretty obvious there's this guy, this freshman, who's got everybody's attention. And I guess many experts put the, you know, connected the dots together, and it was Kenneth Grant, and you know, the sub, you know, 5.0 40-yard dash at 350 pounds. This is a guy, John, that I was salivating for to come to Michigan, like we would see in the SEC at Alabama, and obviously we saw it in Georgia. These big interior defensive linemen who can be so disruptive up the middle and getting the quarterback's face, along with having the great edge rushing. And this is the guy. We keep hearing about all the metrics, and you know, along with obviously Mozzie Smith, who's becoming a household name, you know, for the first time, and you know, at another level than the last couple of years. So excited about the interior D line for the Wolverines, John.
And that's the thing. The beauty of it is, if we talk about a position that you would love to see bolstered coming into this year, it would be from last year, the interior defensive line and the defensive line overall, because, you know, you certainly lost some on the edges, and we're going to be talking about the edge rushers in a little bit, but you need those big guys up the middle. Mozzie Smith, as you mentioned, has come along considerably, but to have a freshman come in that is that big and can move that well, that says nothing but good things for this defensive line here in the near future.
Yeah, and that's, you know, this is what we, you know, when we see the great teams in college football, the, you know, once again, the Bamas and the Georgias and some of these great defenses, that have gotten to the national championship game and won the national championship is having disruption interior. And Michigan really hasn't had that in a long time. Obviously, with David Ojabo and Aiden Hutchinson, you know, the edge rushing was terrific. But it was in the middle that we wished there was a little bit more last year, even though that defense was terrific under Mike McDonald. And I think with a mentor defense like the McDonald defense, it's a Raven kind of defense. And I'd be aggressive and disruptive. And I think Kenneth Grant and Mozzie Smith, you know, fit that mold in terms of contributing that. And it will be great to see when we get to the high caliber competition, let alone just any kind of competition, live competition. We'll start with Colorado State Labor Day weekend. If they are as good as advertised, what we're hearing about in camp.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We will. We'll find out in a hurry about a lot of these young guys. That's something I happen to like about this early schedule. You'll be able to break these guys in, but we'll see how that all works out as it goes along. One of the things, other things that we'll be looking for, as noted, will be these edge rushers. Long gone are the Aiden Hutchinsons of the world, and you know that Michigan lost a lot on those edges. But you mentioned Jesse Minter, and here's what he had to say just this week about these guys that are coming in. He says, with the inexperience in game situations with our edge guys, I think it'll play itself out. We'll sort of scheme things around people, pressure different people. We'll get to try other guys involved in pressure. But at the same time, if one of those guys emerges as a great one on one-on-one rusher, then it's our job to put him in situations to be a one-on-one rusher. We heard already that one of the guys, not technically an edge, but certainly linebacker Junior Colson, they like him getting after the quarterback. So my question to you is, how creative do you think Minter gets in terms of both developing the edges, but being able to take a Junior Colson, move him around, maybe throw him at the quarterback, and either use an extra defensive back in those situations, or drop if he has a mobile edge rusher into a little bit of coverage at times.
Yeah, well, Junior Colson, I mean, you got a guy that was a wide receiver, I think, when recruiting him. I mean, he was a very athletic guy. This is the kind of guy that the Miami Hurricanes, you know, back in the 80s, all of a sudden, you know, taking safeties and turning them linebackers or wideouts. Speed, it's about speed. Speed is the name of the game. Speed is what we wanted on Michigan's defense, lateral speed. And, you know, obviously, you know, Michigan is going to have that in Junior Colson. And I think you just put your guys in, just like offensively, you put your guys, athletic guys, in position to make plays. And I just think that this potentially could be a really, really good defense. You know, Mike Morris is, you know, hearing good things. We hear about all these good things. I know that you kind of get callous to that. But when it comes to Junior Colson, and you were a guy, I will say you were the guy that kept waving his flag last year, John. I remember in our conversation as well as on our podcast, you just thought this guy who is, you came from a, you know, kind of a rough background growing up in an orphanage overseas, and what he's done with his life. And I like guys who are survivors, who are resilient, and that's what Junior Colson is. I think he's going to be a dynamite player this year.
Yes, well, and so did one of his coaches in high school that happened to, before that, coach in the NFL, and that's part of the insight that I got into this kid who had played, zero football in Haiti, where he was brought to the United States, and yeah, all of a sudden, but he had unbelievable raw talent, and we saw that play out as a true freshman. And now you get that year under your belt. This kid is going to be really someone, I believe, who is going to assert himself this year. We're going to talk more about the defense, but right now I'm going to go way off the wall on a particular question. We've talked all angles of quarterbacks and Cade McNamara and JJ McCarthy and what happens, but we're gonna move it down the line a little bit. We're for a minute, we're not gonna take it one game at a time. Okay. Let's go. Let's move the clock forward to Columbus, Ohio.
Wow.
Late in November, Michigan, Ohio State. At this slice in time, Tom Crawford, who's your starting quarterback in that game and why?
It's going to be J.J. McCarthy. No, it's cutting the Cade McNamara. People are going to be just slamming me. And, you know, it's like a house divided here. I want to say something about Cade McNamara that I thought was a really good point brought up about him. This guy has got to be mentally tough because he knows deep down. I mean, all he's got to do is get on social media, but I'm sure, hopefully he stays off it. The fan base, the chic thing is, oh, you got to put J.J. in there for all the reasons that I've cited. Which, you know, not educated reasons I'm citing, not inside the walls of what's going on. But I mean, I just truly think that by that time, you will see how much J.J. McCarthy threatens a defense. And when I say threatens a defense, not just with his arm, but, you know, with his feet. And I'm just going to, let's just go back to the basic handoff. I always put my shoe on my, I walk in the shoes of a defender. Or a defense, you know, with J.J. McCarthy, when you're, you know, a handoff is going to get you to hesitate a little bit. Is this RPO? Is he going to just, you know, just pull it back out and go running with that great foot speed of his? And I think a defense is going to have to think twice. I mean, a little bit more than with Cade McNamara. Now I know Cade McNamara's got great foot speed, all this stuff. I get all that, and he's a great leader and all that. I just think J.J. McCarthy takes it to another level in terms of threatening the defense, both with his arm and with his feet. And I think his knowledge of the game is going to be ramped up. And I just think by that time, by week number 12, the opportunities of taking that offense into a special category, you know, and it could be a great offense with Cade McNamara, but it could be special with J.J. McCarthy, a top 10 offense.
Mark it down. In August, Tom Crawford has J.J. McCarthy starting Michigan. Yeah.
And who do you have?
Ohio
who do you
State.
Have, John?
Who do Gordon? I have? I was just about to say this is probably not going to come as a shock to you and others who have listened to this podcast, but I have Cade McNamara starting in that game, and I'm going to give you the reasons why. Okay. First of all, I think that we've talked about Michigan's non-conference schedule. I don't see a loss in there, certainly, because it is not – you don't have an Oklahoma, you don't have a Notre Dame, you don't have a Florida State on there. You have teams that you ought to reasonably handle. I think they're going to go through that section of the schedule very efficiently. I think that Cade McNamara has faced the big teams. I don't think he's going to be flinch at one bit, even though Iowa's going to be a tough game. I don't care what the outcome was in the Big Ten championship game. You get that. But having been to Iowa City, I think that it's just a different ballgame when those fans are right on top of you. I think Cade McNamara is ready to handle that sort of pressure. You get through that one, and then you've got a team that's on a roll. I don't see, other than a real fall off in the starting quarterback, who I believe will be Cade McNamara game one, I don't see that permanent switch. Absolutely, you're going to see plenty of J.J. McCarthy once again and see it build. But unless you drop a couple of games and you've got a struggling starting quarterback, I just think that Cade McNamara will be deemed a guy that you don't replace in that starting role, and probably the best one mentally in this year to go into Columbus and give you a win and give you the best chance of a win.
John, can I get away from the starting versus non-starting question? Let's look at last year versus this coming year in 2022. How much more participation do you think, if Cade's a starter, that J.J. McCarthy will get in terms of percentage of snaps? Say there's 70 snaps. I mean, what percentage of snaps do you think J.J. will get? Will it be increased, or will it be the situational things and mop-up time like last year?
I think it's partly situational, but you increase from that even. In these non-conference games, you could see J.J. McCarthy in there 40% of the time.
Well, how about when Big Ten play starts? I mean, almost
when Big Ten play starts, again, it's you're not going to – I don't think they're going to give Cade McNamara a half in Iowa and then McCarthy a half in Iowa, but I think he will play plenty in really every game. But certainly – when games are on the line, I don't think you're going to have just this random, okay, let's switch out quarterbacks now. You will have those things where, like last year, they know Cade does well. They will bring in J.J. McCarthy for a changeup. If he's hot, hey, maybe he sticks around and has several series. But I just think it's an amplified version of what you saw last year.
Okay. So we're making a bet, and that bet, we just drawn the lines of where we're standing on this. So who's going to be starting it, you know, in week number 12? I'm betting you. Here's our bet: a chocolate milkshake down at Pizza Bob's on State Street. Okay. The loser has to pay. Okay. The winner gets the benefit of the purchase of the milkshake. Okay. Is that a deal?
That's a deal, but I get to choose my own flavor. I'm leaning a little to the banana shake side of things. Okay.
But yeah, so, you know, Pizza Bob's. I mean, I mean, that's milkshakes. I mean, that's where hung out in college, and it's still there. And I want a milkshake, and you're buying it for me when JJ's starting the Ohio State game. Okay.
Oh, I'll be glad to if that happens. And you know, I have. No dog in this fight as to who starts.
Oh, I understand that. I
want to see them both do well.
No, I listen. I want Michigan to win. I don't have any personal relationship with either of those guys. I just think I like to have the Wolverines in best position to have a dynamic offense, and that's my theory of it. It's not right or wrong. I mean, everybody's got an opinion, you know.
And you have a ton of company in that way of thinking. So it's not like, you're coming on here to represent the minority opinion.
Right.
I'm probably doing that at this point, but there's a lot of people out there on both sides. So, hey, Michigan football ranked 8th in the AP poll going into the 2022 season. We always talk a little bit about the polls. We don't put a whole lot of weight there, but what was your reaction to that number, and what do you think it means, if anything?
Well, it doesn't mean a thing, as the experts will tell you, because it's all subjective, and where you start doesn't matter. It's where you end. I mean, I think it's appropriate. I mean, it kind of pay homage to Michigan's season last year, getting the CFP. I like the brand up. I like the position at 8th. You're in. You know, if you happen to lose a game, you're not completely fall out of the polls, which, unless it's an embarrassing loss, they drop one to UConn, God forbid. But I think it's about right. But, you know, I want to get back. You know, they're going to earn that ranking, though. And I'm going to say, you know, I've gone on and on about the schedule, and I'm not going to go there anymore on that for at least for a while. But about in the non-conference slate. But I'm going to tell you how that non-conference slate won't even matter, is if the Big Ten does the job. If Ohio State beats Notre Dame. If Michigan State goes to Seattle and beats Washington. If Penn State on September 17th goes down to Auburn, Alabama, and beats the Plainsmen, the Auburn Tigers, okay, then it doesn't matter about having this cream puff non-conference, because the Big Ten will have credibility, and then Michigan's ranking 8th will be well-earned if the Big Ten holds serve and everybody does their job. I am all for Big Ten teams, even Ohio State, even Michigan State, to clean up on their non-conference, no matter how tough they are. And those games I mentioned are tough challenges for those teams. If they all win those games, it won't matter that Michigan has Cupcake City the first three non-conference games.
I think you make a good point there. And whereas in that first game, you never want to see Ohio State win.
Yeah.
But in that game, no. In that game, you want to see Notre Dame lose.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
it's just a different way of looking at it.
What's the credibility of the league? You have to. You can't get caught. I mean, we don't have any control over who, you know, what you want to have happen. But I'm just saying, I hope. I hope the Big Ten does terrific because it needs the credibility. And if all those teams win, like I just cited, those three games, and there's other opportunities as well, then Michigan's conference schedule will give them enough credibility to earn a CFP. Even with a one loss, you know, to Ohio State, they could sneak in there if the Big Ten does their homework in non-conference play.
And that sort of thing is why I think that maybe these polls matter just a little tiny bit these days, because you're going to have a number of teams, undefeated teams, one loss teams, jockeying for those four coveted spots in the college football playoff. Certainly, you've got a lot to do to get there, but if you're at least in the top 10, you have fewer teams to jump over the top of if you have the same record. And so, you know, in that respect, these days, I'll give it a little bit of credence. Okay, you'd rather be, you know, you want to be starting off in the top 10 and go from there.
Right. No, I agree. Michigan's done it the other way. I mean, 97, they were in double digits ranked, and they won the national championship. And last year, they, you know, they came out of nowhere. And look what that season ended up. So, yeah, but I want Michigan, I want the brand out there. I mean, it's part about branding, you know? I mean, it comes to recruiting. I want Michigan in the top 10. Michigan is a top 10 program, so why not be preseason top 10, even though that doesn't mean anything?
Well, all right. Well, now we're going to talk about branding in a different sense. Michigan defensive backs branding the winged helmet logo on the pads of opposing receivers. And I'm particularly talking about one Jamon Green. And we've heard him cast as the best defensive back in Michigan in spring ball. And that was surprising to me with guys like DJ Turner back there. My question to you is, do you really hyper reality? Do you think that he has grown up that much season to season? You know, a couple of years ago, folks were saying, oh boy, they've got to get some guys in here that aren't these guys. And one of those guys that was playing a lot then was Jamon Green. Obviously, he's come along. Do you think he is going to be able to hold his own in that Jesse Minter defensive backfield?
Well, yeah, I think so. On Clean Scale Talk, I think coming out of the spring practice, we heard about Jamon Green had a great spring, and you know, he was going to be a player of relevance. And he's played a lot of football. I agree with you. I mean, he was there. He was an enigma. I mean, it's like he was there, but sometimes he wouldn't make, you know, there are a lot of times he didn't make plays. Last year, though, he had some breakups. So, and you know, he made some plays last year that, like, wow, where'd that come from? And so I saw, you know, with Klingscale talking about it and Jesse Minter, it sounds like that the secondary and the corners in particular could be a position of strength. And, boy, if you got two good corner, Ohio State's, you know, won a lot of football games in the past with great corner play, and maybe Michigan could be in that category. I think, you know, I listen to the coaches and I listen to players talk about players, fellow players, and it's high marks for Jamon Green. So I think he's going to have a really good year.
Well, you have to look forward to that. And you need to look forward to seeing what linebacker for the Wolverines comes up and plays really well aside from the guy that we already talked about. We've been Junior Colson wall to wall, and he earned that sort of notice. Which linebacker beside Junior Colson in Tom Crawford's mind steps up this season to have a decent year?
Well, I mean, Michael Barrett, you know, has had those moments we saw last year, and his name keeps popping up a little bit in terms of from the assistants, so overseeing, you know, what he has done. So, I mean, that's a name that, you know, that sticks out there. I mean, it's, once again, a guy who's played a lot of football, and all of a sudden he's, you know, really good. I think he'd be the one that sticks out in my mind. And then I'm, you know, I get caught up in freshman hype. I'm guilty. Okay. You know, there might be somebody else that comes out of nowhere So, and I don't, there's always a guy like Rod Moore who comes. So I'm just leaving that a player, a standout to be named later. Like Rod Moore came out of nowhere last year. Like, where did this come from? You know, so I'm just saying there's going to be another guy that comes out of nowhere. I don't know who it is, but that seemingly always happens with Michigan football in the last couple of years.
I'll throw in a name just to make it one of those possibilities. Watch out for Nakai Hill-Green as someone that, like Jamon, went through some, you know, rough spots early, some learning curve type of stuff as he's getting introduced to the game at this level. Hearing good things about him, just keep your eye out and see how he develops alongside Junior Colson.
Who has played a lot of football. Lineup. Who played a
he
lot
has.
Of football last year. I mean, once again, when you start looking at the depth chart on Michigan football, and everybody's like, oh, I'm worried about the defense. I'm worried about the defense. Because, you know, Michigan fans, all they do is worry. That's just that's how we're wired, okay? But when I start looking at the two deeps and even going three deeps in some of these scenarios, there's a lot of football that has been played by these guys. So, I think they're about ready to take it next level. And Nakai Hill-Green, obviously one of those guys. That's a good suggestion right there.
And a good suggestion by Mozzie Smith. Look you in the eye, just keep doubting. Just keep doubting. Just keep doubting the defense. I like that because these guys are fired up. As same way Tom Crawford is fired up every time he comes on the Wolverine podcast. We appreciate your presence here, sir. And we will continue to do this regularly leading up to and throughout the football season. Thanks, Tom Crawford, again for joining us, and let's do this again soon.
A privilege to be on the Wolverine podcast with John Borden. Thanks, JB.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.